the kitchen. As per the rest of the house, it was spacious, clean, and had all the trappings of a well-cushioned lifestyle. Stainless steel appliances and charcoal-colored granite countertops topped off the dark wood cabinets like an exclusive price tag. "You hungry?" he asked, flicking on the lights. "Training always made me hungry." "I'm starving," I admitted, pulling out a dark leather chair at the kitchen island. He yanked open the double-door refrigerator and started digging around inside before resurfacing with an armful of food and condiments. He set his pickings down on the counter and got to work. "How long did you train before you quit?" I asked, realizing I didn't know much about his time with the order.
"Officially, from 11 to 17.
"And unofficially?"
"Since as far back as I can remember."
He spread some mayonnaise on a slice of bread.
"As soon as I really understood what it was the only thing I wanted to do."
I thought back to myself at that same age. It was a stark contrast. At 11, I was still playing with dolls. At 15, I was headed to nationals with my cheer squad, completely oblivious to what I was and the hidden world around me. My life revolved around pep rallies and obsessing over the exact moment when my first kiss would happen. It all seemed so much smaller now, so trivial. And yet, if I was completely honest with myself, a part of me still longed for it. "Do you ever regret leaving the order?" I asked. "I mean, now that you know they weren't keeping the amulet from Linley?" He shook his head.
"They didn't have the amulet, but they knew how to get it. And they knew about the scribes."
I could hear the anger building in his voice.
"They have all this power, all these beings with the ability to make things happen, to stop things from happening, and they do nothing with it."
"But maybe there's a reason," I offered. "Maybe they know better than to intervene."
"Or maybe they're just weak."
He slapped on a few slices of ham and cheese and then topped it off with another slice of bread.
"Maybe our lives aren't valuable enough to them. Maybe they don't think saving one is worth the effort."
I could see the vexation in his eyes, icy and sharp like a slow-building storm. I knew better than to play there. He sat down at the island and slid my plate over to me. "Thanks."
"What about you?"
he asked, biting down into his sandwich.
"What do you make of them?"
"I don't know," I said, covering my mouth as I chewed. "I haven't been around them long enough to know whether I can trust them or not. All I had is what people told me, and that wasn't very much at all. Gabriel says everything is fated, predestined on the paradigm."
"Yeah."
"So what's the point in trying to change something that will always be, no matter what you do?"
"What if that's not true?" he challenged. "What then? Gabriel himself is proof that the past can be changed."
"Yeah, but he cheated the paradigm by dying and coming back as something that isn't even human. Or technically alive, for that matter."
"Exactly."
His dimples flashed briefly as he swallowed.
"There's a hole there, an opening. If you can cheat your fate that way, who's to say there isn't another way, another hole?"
"So how are you going to do it?" I watched him as he devoured the last of his sandwich. "How are you going to cheat fate and save Linley from her destiny?" He looked down at me with apprehension.
"I don't have all the details figured out yet."
"But you do have an idea, right?" I watched his jaw muscle pop under my interrogation. "You wanted the amulet for a reason. Were you going to bring it into the past and give it to her? To stop her from dying?" Shaking his head, he pressed back in his chair.
"Doing that would create a ripple. It's too risky."
"So what then?" I pushed. I could tell from his ever-guarded expression that he had a plan, that he knew exactly what he was going to do if given the chance. I just had to dig deep enough to get to it, push harder through the wall. "Were you going to try to bring her back from the dead?" I cringed just saying the words out loud, but the amulet, after all, did have necromancy capabilities. He shook his head again, slow and calculated. "Then what?" I leaned in closer, forcing him to keep eye contact with me.
How were you going to do it? I could see the unease in his face, the tension in his shoulders. This was his lifeline, his one chance to save his sister. Letting me in meant slicing it wide open to the possibility of interference, of failure. With his head cocked to the side, he tapped his thumb on the table and watched me, studied me, read me like an open diary. The truth was right there on the tip of his tongue, peeking through like a sliver of sunlight spilling through a crack. I just had to chip at the edges a little more, push a tiny bit harder. We can do this together. The crack split, and acquiescence brimmed through.
I'm going to bring her into the present, he said carefully, scrutinizing me as he spoke.
You can do that? I asked, shocked by this revelation. You can just grab people from the past and pop them into the future?
Something like that.
He watched my face for any signs of panic or distress. When he found none, he went on.
Once she's on our timeline, she only has a limited amount of time.
Why?
Because it's coming for her,
he said ominously.
Death is coming, whether she's on our timeline or hers. The outcome will be the same.
He leaned forward in his chair.
That's where the amulet comes in. As long as she's wearing it, she'll be protected.
And there it was, the reason he needed the amulet.
But that's only a temporary fix to buy us some time, he went on. The minute the amulet comes off, she'll be a goner, and everything we did will be for nothing.
So what then? How are you going to stop her from dying? His dimples winked at me like the promise of a sweet, painless death.
I'm going to finish what she started. I'm going to recreate the first rising spell.
11. Raising the Dead.
Skeletal branches tapped against Trace's bedroom window as the howling wind pushed the trees back and forth, hissing voraciously as though it wanted in. I sat down on the edge of his bed, watching him as he moved around his room.
The spell has to be modified first,
he continued without missing a beat. He pulled out a change of clothes from his dresser drawer.
I'm not looking to turn her into a bloodsucker,
he clarified, unbuttoning his shirt. Don't you need the scribes for that? I asked, staring at his peeking flesh without really meaning to. Wasn't that the whole reason she went back to the past with Tessa in the first place? When they changed the past and stopped Gabriel and Dominic from perishing in a fire.
I already have them, he said, dropping his shirt to the ground. The only thing I'm missing is the amulet.
My eyes nosedived after his shirt as I tried to force myself not to look up while processing what he'd just said. You have the scribes? How? When? I sputtered, eyes wide and pinned to the ground.
Linley got them,
he answered, and I was sure I detected a hint of pride in his tone.
That night with Tessa.
She lied to Tessa? My eyes snapped up to his, and I instantly regretted it. Not because the view wasn't good, like insanely good, but because I could hardly tear my eyes away from it and stay focused on the grave matter at hand.
She had to.
Did she, His naked upper body was all I could think about. Ridges and edges as sharp as the rugged coastline taunted me with their perfection, daring me to look out at them, to venture closer. But not to touch.
Did she what?
His head was tilted, his arms flat by his side. He looked like an Adonis without even trying to. Did she, ever tell Tessa? Like, does Tessa know? I kicked myself inwardly. Get it together, I scolded myself as I shifted my gaze towards the window to give him some privacy. Beads of water splattered against the glass, blurring out the outside world as though it didn't even exist anymore. Sometimes, when I was alone with Trace like this, it almost felt like it didn't.
I don't think so, he said.
His belt buckle clinked. What are you doing? I bounced a glance in his direction just as the edge of his pants slid over his hip bone.
My head snapped back so fast I almost got whiplash. You can't do that in here!
He laughed, the sound of it throaty and completely sexy.
Why not? It's my room.
Yeah, but I'm in here with you.
So?
For the love of all that was holy, how was he not going to get how inappropriate this was? His belt buckle made another clink as it hit the floor.
Haven't you ever seen a guy naked before?
My heart came to a full stop and then kicked off into overdrive. Of course I have. I mean, well, technically. Look, that's not the point. God, was the heating on in here or something? He laughed again.
Relax, Gemma.
My name slid off his tongue like silk.
I'm wearing shorts.
I peeked at him from the corner of my eye. Skin, skin, more skin, shorts. Okay, so he was wearing shorts. More like boxer briefs, but at least it was something. And oh my wow, was he ever something. He pulled on his jogging pants and then rolled out his desk chair across from me.
Good.
And a shirt, please. Not that I wasn't enjoying the view, but I had to stay focused, and I knew that would be impossible with Reaper McSteamy sitting across from me.
All right,
he said as he reached over and grabbed a cut-off sleeve t-shirt from his clean laundry pile.
Satisfied?
Hardly, but that was precisely the point. Thanks. He flexed back in the chair, his legs spread out wide.
So, where were we?
You were telling me how you got the scribes, I reminded him. So, basically, you're all set.
Not exactly.
His jaw muscles ticked again.
The scribes are just a starting point. We need a new spell, one that will make her immortal without turning her into a rev.
And how exactly are you planning on pulling that off? I asked with cynical undertones. He hesitated before answering.
Nikki.
Just hearing her name gave me heartburn.
That's why we've been hanging out more,
he quickly added, as if defending himself against my unspoken accusation.
She's been working on a new spell for me.
I bet that wasn't all she was working on. Is she even capable of doing something like that? I asked, curious about the magnitude of her witchy powers.
I hope so.
He leaned forward in his chair, his elbows resting on his knees.
She's the one that came up with the spell to hide my trips to the past.
It made me sick to hear him speak about her, like her name was vomit and didn't belong coming out of his mouth. So all of this is resting on Nikki's shoulders? There was something severely and innately wrong with that.
For now, yeah.
If he was worried about it, it didn't show on his face.
Unless you have a better idea.
I shook my head, but I sure as hell planned on coming up with one. I wasn't about to put anyone's life in freaking Nikki Parker's hands, and definitely not my own.
So that's it.
He shrugged his shoulders with nothing more to offer.
Now you know everything.
I wasn't sure how I felt about him having the scribes in hand and Nikki by his side. The combination seemed lethal and dangerous. Looks like you have it all figured out, I noted, leaning back. All you're missing now is the amulet. He nodded. Studying my face, his eyes turned serious.
I hope you know I never had any intention of taking it from you. I don't know what happens to change that, but it must have been big because the last thing I would ever do is hurt you.
Without even realizing it was happening, something had changed in me over the course of the evening. The more I listened to him, the more I believed him. I believed he wouldn't hurt me that way. At least I did in my heart, and for now that would have to be enough to keep me going. Trace was on the cusp of something big, something huge, and there were only a few minor obstacles standing in the way of it. Namely, the missing amulet. Either way, the fact still remained. One way or another, if he was going to resurrect his sister from the dead, he needed that amulet. The more I heard, the more I was certain that future Trace had found a way to fill in the missing piece once and for all, by taking the piece right out of my hands.
But then, why travel back in time to do it? Why not just take it from me in the future? Did I no longer have the amulet? Or was I no longer around to take it from?
12. Heart Song. As soon as I was up to speed on Trace's plans for Linley, I tried to make a quick exit with the lame excuse of a last-minute homework assignment. I was literally on my feet and about to head out the door when Trace said something funny about Mr. Bradley's almost see-through dress shirts. I couldn't help but laugh. And then I joked about the way he combed his hair over the bald spot on his head, and we both laughed. And suddenly, I'd forgotten I was supposed to be leaving. It was always that way with Trace. Time seemed to just melt away from me when I was with him. It didn't matter where I'd been or where I had to go. When we were together, it was the only place I wanted to be.
How have you never heard of this band before? He asked sometime later, aghast by my admission.
His electric blue eyes locked on me like a beacon of hope. I haven't exactly had time to sit around and discover new music lately, I pointed out.
True.
He studied me for a moment and then smiled, dimples blazing.
I think you're going to like it. I mean, I hope you do.
The way he said it made it sound like he had a real stake in it. I watched curiously as he flipped through his playlist and then plugged the MP3 player into the dock before grabbing the remote control on his way back. He flopped back on his bed and propped a pillow up behind his head.
Come here,
he said, gesturing for me to get closer. That's okay. I'm good here, I said, waving him off as I hunkered down on the corner of his bed.
Come on, I don't bite.
I know, I said. But the truth was, I was afraid to get too close to him. I still didn't trust myself enough to risk the proximity. He seemed confused.
Are you scared of me or something?
No. I swallowed the lump of nerves at the back of my throat. Of course not, I said. But that wasn't entirely the truth, and we both knew it.
We've been alone like this before.
I know.
It's not a big deal.
I know, I said, more firm this time.
So stop playing and come here. I'm not starting the song until you do,
he baited, interlocking his fingers behind his head, which consequently highlighted the bulky muscles in his arms rather nicely. I wasn't sure if he was doing it on purpose, but I suddenly felt inspired to move. I scooched down closer and carefully laid myself down next to him. His dimples exploded on both sides in victory.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Define bad, I sassed, refusing to give him the full satisfaction. Laughing, he picked up the remote from his lap and hit play. Thick, black lashes lowered over his eyes like a curtain. His jaw set in a line of anticipation. I tried not to watch him, not to stare at him so damn hard, but it was like trying not to look at a shooting star.
Close your eyes, he said.
I'm not closing my eyes.
Just humor me for a minute.
His pleading eyes were damn near impossible to turn down.
Please, close them.
I closed my eyes. The music started, a steady, soft drumbeat, lulling and poignant like the strum of a loving heartbeat. Already I liked it.
This is my song to you, Gemma.
His eyes were turned away from me when he said it, like he didn't have the nerve to say the words and face me at the same time. And now I loved it. My breath hitched as the lyrics began. Soft, careful promises of love danced in my ears, taking me away to a place I'd never been, but always dreamed of going. It was the happily ever after to a story I desperately longed to live. I couldn't move. I couldn't stop listening. I couldn't risk missing a single beat. All I wanted to do was stay right where I was, to live and breathe this moment with him forever.
What do you think?
He asked as the song came to the end, his voice twisted with uncertainty and hope. I tried to steady my breathing, to compose myself. I love it. I've never loved a song more in my entire life. His hand slipped into mine, and I shivered from the connection as he laced our fingers together. It felt right like this with him. Flawless, just like the last time we'd been here. Only it wasn't like the last time. Sadness seeped into my heart, weighing it down with pain and grief. So much had happened since then. So much hurt.
I wish I could take it away for you, he said, turning over to face me.
The wounded look in his eyes told me he knew he was the one that put it there. I do too, I said, wishing he could make all of it go away. All the hurt and pain and the mind-twisting memories of that night at the church.
You think you'll ever be able to forget it?
I don't know, I said simply, because it was the truth. In my heart, I know it wasn't really you, but it's hard to erase the image of you walking away from me. That picture had seared itself into my mind like a third-degree burn. The scars were painful to touch and hideous to look at. He moved in closer.
Will you let me try to erase it?
His voice was a husky whisper, hot in my ears. I swallowed my butterflies, unable to formulate an actual response. Instead, I veered my eyes to the ceiling, the plain white ceiling. It was safe to look at. Trace wasn't. His hand came up to my cheek and steered my face back to his so that I had no choice but to look at him. His iridescent blue eyes ran all over my face, taking in my features as though he wanted to memorize them.
I already have, he said,
answering my thoughts as though we had always been this way, easy and natural.
I've memorized every inch of you, and I still find something new every time I look at you. Like this freckle right here, he said,
touching his finger to the top of my lip.
It's my new favorite.
My heart raced in my chest as he wet his lips and began inching closer to me. I knew exactly what that meant, and all I could do was watch with anticipation as he closed the gap. In the next second, his mouth was pressed against mine, sending my entire body into a state of euphoric exhilaration. Sparks ignited all around me, crackling against my skin like a full-blown electrical storm. It didn't seem fair that I felt this way when I was with him, that my body reacted this way without my consent. After everything that happened, and everything that had yet to happen, my heart still felt the same way. It was confusing and trying and all-encompassing, and I knew it would devour me whole if I let it. If I didn't stop it from taking over again. I'm sorry, I pulled back from his warmth. I can't do this right now.
Gemma.
He licked his lips, savoring my kiss with his tongue. The sight of it made my head swarm. It took everything I had not to dive back into him, not to let the billowing heat lure me back into his inferno. I have to go. I hurtled myself off the bed before I had a chance to change my mind.
What? Wait!
He jumped up and rushed after me.
Hang on a second,
he said, grabbing my hand and spinning me back to him as I tried to open the door. In one dizzying move, he kicked the door closed with his foot and leaned me back into it. My heart somersaulted in my chest as he eliminated the space between us, leaving nothing there but the thin fabric of our clothing, and it wasn't nearly enough to quell the heat.
Where are you going?
His breath tickled my lips as he spoke, tantalizing and inviting in every way. Home, I answered, watching as his mouth twitched a small frown. I have to go home.
It's still early.
What time is it? I asked, as if it remotely mattered.
No idea.
Then how do you know it's early? I asked, and then immediately gasped as he pressed himself against me. Thigh to thigh,
chest to chest, pounding heart to pounding heart.
I just know.
His eyes sparkled an illicit invitation I wasn't sure I was strong enough to decline.
Stay with me.
My knees trembled, threatening to take me down. Trace instantly sensed my weakness and tightened his hold on me.
I can't, I said, twisting out of his grip. It's too soon, Trace. I'm sorry.
I pushed him back a step to open up the space between us. I couldn't think straight with him standing that close to me, and that was precisely the problem. His hands dropped.
There's too much going on right now, I tried to explain. My head was all over the place, bouncing from Taylor and Angel to the amulet and Morgan's vision and then all the way back again. And I still had to figure out where the amulet was. I need time to make sense out of everything that happened and figure out what it all means. I have to be careful, I added quietly. His eyes were filled with longing as they pored over me, studying me as though the secret key to unlocking me were hidden somewhere on my face.
You still don't trust me.
He pushed his hands through his midnight black hair and dropped his head, terse and abrupt as though shot down by the very words he uttered.
I'm trying to, I admitted.
I hate this, Gemma,
he said, every word soft and delicate as though birthed from the deepest part of his truth.
I never wanted for you to hurt like this.
I know, I said, and a part of me truly did, but there was still another part that was screaming for me to tread carefully,
to expect the worst and prepare for all possible outcomes, as Dominic had said.
Too much has happened, and too much is coming. I have to stay focused on what I need to do, and I can't do that while trying to navigate my feelings for you.
So you still have them?
Have what?
Feelings for me.
He clenched his jaw in anticipation of my answer. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. He moved in closer to me, to touch me or hold me or connect with me in some way, but I stepped back out of his reach.
But it doesn't change anything.
He lowered his head. The seconds ticked by languidly like sand in a frozen hourglass. The silence, both deafening and heartbreaking, was emblematic of the standstill we were now in. When he looked back up at me, all I saw was the searing pain in his eyes.
It kills me to see you look at me like this, Gemma. And maybe that's what I deserve for not being honest with you from the beginning, but it still knifes my insides.
His lids slid closed, banishing his blue eyes from the world for the longest, darkest moment of my life.
Trace.
I called out his name like a prayer, urging him to open his eyes, to let the sun pour back into my world. I needed his light, his sustenance to carry me forward. Yet getting too close to him was still dangerous, a fiery burn I wasn't yet sure I could endure. They opened again. And I breathed in fast and deep because the air had once again returned to my stifled lungs.
Maybe it would have been better to just lie to you and tell you I did it,
he said, his eyes meeting mine in a revealing way.
That I did it for my sister and then beg for your forgiveness.
Why would you say that?
Because at least then I'd know I deserved this. It's not like it never crossed my mind,
he confessed. And then looked away as though too ashamed to face me.
The only thing standing in the way of bringing Linley back was that amulet, and you had it. I'd be a liar if I said I never thought about taking it.
I crossed my arms, unsure of where he was going with this and if I really wanted to hear it.
But I didn't do it,
he stated firmly, meeting my eyes poignantly.
I couldn't take the risk of losing you.
Shaking his head, he pumped his jaw muscles in frustration.
I didn't do it, and I lost you anyway. All you see is betrayal when you look at me. It's in your mind every time I touch you.
I couldn't find the words to deny it, probably because I knew it was the truth.
I'm paying for something I never actually did.
I lowered my eyes in regret, realizing I'd driven him to this, to wishing he had lied to me instead. As hard as it was to hear the truth, I respected him more for putting it out there, for letting me hear it, no matter how ugly it was. If present Trace really didn't do this, as my heart was telling me, it wasn't fair that he was stuck footing the bill for it. I needed to find a way to separate the two of them and to forgive him for the thing he had yet to even do. I'm trying to let it go, Trace. I want to get back to where we left off, but it's going to take some time. And with Morgan's vision... I looked away from his troubled eyes, afraid to go on. I need time to sort through it. I hadn't even begun to consider the implications of her vision and what that really meant for us. He exhaled his frustration. I understand if you don't want to wait around. I wouldn't ask you to anyway.
I'll wait.
He blinked slowly as he took me in.
I'd wait until the end of days for you, Gemma. I don't know if I should be admitting that to you or not, but it's the truth.
I smiled up at him, at his words.
For whatever it's worth, I know you're the one, Gemma. I know we're meant to be together, and I'm not messing with destiny anymore.
He pierced me with a look of complete want.
Not when it comes to you, anyway.
My heart stopped and started at the unexpected declaration. I wasn't sure what part of that to process first. Destiny, huh? I raised a skeptical brow at him, deciding to graze right over the whole you're the one thing. There wasn't enough CPU in a computer to process that one yet. His lip hitched up at the corner as he buried his hands and his secrets in his pockets. Obviously, I wasn't about to let him off that easy. Why do you keep saying stuff like that? I asked him, curious, since it wasn't the first time I heard him say we're going to be together, that I was going to love him someday.
Morgan,
he answered simply, shrugging off her name like it was no big deal. What did she say?
That you're going to fall in love with me.
His mouth twisted into a beautiful, perfectly dimpled grin. I thought back to what Morgan said in the washroom, that I told him I loved him right before she saw him die. My stomach dropped. Why didn't you ever say anything?
Why do you think?
He shook his head.
It's kind of an awkward conversation to have with a girl who doesn't even know you. Besides, I hadn't even really accepted it myself at that point,
he explained with an air of detachment.
Accepting it meant I had to accept her other visions, and I wasn't ready for that.
My throat tightened as a heady feeling of dread washed over me. Like her vision about your death. There it was again. The enormous elephant in the room. He nodded, though barely. What are you going to do about it? He laughed, dark and gruff, as though the situation were entirely void of any hope. The sound of it ripped a hole right through the middle of my heart. Trace was on a fast track to the end of the line, and I couldn't even stomach the thought of it, let alone contemplate surviving it. There has to be something we could do to stop it, I said, my voice tinged in the kind of hysteria that started in the pit of your stomach and then shot up through your esophagus like vomit. There has to be.
Gemma.
He moved a little closer to me, spoke a little softer.
There isn't.
No, I don't accept that. There had to be a way to change it, to stop it from becoming real. Tessa and Trace both said that death comes for us no matter what we do. So maybe it wasn't a matter of stopping it from happening, but a matter of cheating it. Maybe bringing Linley back from the dead would be the key to bringing Trace back, too. If we find a way to bring Linley back, we can do the same for you. I swallowed hard. You know, if it comes to that.
Maybe.
His head cocked to the side as he watched me. Maybe? What kind of answer is that?
I don't want to talk about that right now,
he said, and then took a slow step towards me.
I don't want to talk about anything. I just want to be with you.
His hands found their way around my waist again and pulled me into him, as though he were a lost soul and I was his one and only way to salvation. My heart sped up as he lowered his head to my neck and breathed in the scent of my hair, of my skin.
Stay with me, Gemma.
A swarm of butterflies took flight in my stomach. I didn't know how to say no to that, to him, and I wasn't sure I wanted to. Despite knowing this could very well be the beginning of my end, of his end, I couldn't find the strength to pull away, not even to save our lives.
I promise I won't do anything more than this,
he added in an attempt to seal the deal that had been made long before I came here.
Just stay with me tonight.
Without waiting for my response, he flicked off the light switch behind my head and began towing me back towards his bed. I followed freely and completely, a willing servant of his heart and anything it desired. He sat down on the edge, every move unhurried and designed to keep me from fleeing. But the truth was, I wouldn't have anyway. Fleeing meant running away from the very air that filled my lungs with life. With his hands planted firmly on my hips, he lay back on his bed and pulled me down with him. Down into oblivion, into bliss, into the warm space where I have always belonged. It had been a long time since I had a place to call home. Most days, I couldn't even remember what that felt like anymore. My anchor had chipped, cracked, rotted away to the bottom of the ocean, leaving me lost and stranded in the open sea alone. Until now. Fate had brought us together, and as it stood, it would soon take us apart. But in that small moment, I was no longer lost. I was finally home again. Trace was my home. 13. Eyes wide shut. My eyes blinked open. The dull gray light of morning poured into the room, covering everything in a hazy, fog-like filter. With my entire body humming, I glanced down and found Trace's arms still wrapped securely around me. He'd held on to me throughout the night, and I'd never felt more at peace.
And then reality slapped me right in the face.
I'm finished! Oh my God! Get up! I shrieked, jumping out of Trace's arms like a ripped-off bandage. We fell asleep! Get up! Where's my phone? I searched around frantically, yanking the covers up and tossing his pillows around the bed.
What time is it?
He asked, his voice and eyes still groggy and doused in slumber. I don't know, but I'm so dead. I spotted my phone on the floor in front of his bed and dropped to the ground on all fours to grab a hold of it. 9 missed calls from my uncle. Oh my God, he's going to kill me. He's literally going to kill me. I might as well say my goodbyes now because my life is about to be over. I was practically hysterical about it.
Calm down,
said Trace as he sat up and dropped his feet over the edge of the bed. Rubbing the leftover sleep from his eyes, he said,
Just relax. I'll give him a call.
And say what? I screeched, staring at him like he'd just escaped from the loony bin. We fell asleep in your bed? Whoops, our bad. No freaking way, he's going to kill us both.
Don't worry, I'll take care of it.
He picked up his phone and dialed my uncle's number before I could further object. Watching from the foot of the bed, I nearly chewed a hole through my cheek as I waited for him to make contact.
Hey, Carl, it's Trace.
Pause.
Yeah, she's with me.
Another pause.
I know. We ran into some revs last night and ended up hunkering down until it was safe to come home. We lost our phones getting away, otherwise we would have called sooner.
Another long pause.
Yeah, you got it.
He put the phone down on his nightstand and turned to face me.
There.
There? There what? What did he say? My eyes were doing all sorts of crazy things. There may have even been a twitch involved. He shrugged like it was no big deal.
He said to call my dad and let him know we're safe. They figured we were together when we both came up missing last night.
And that's it? I asked incredulously. He wasn't angry? He didn't yell at you or anything?
Nope.
He got up from the bed and strode towards me.
Told me to make sure I got you to school on time.
He bent down and dropped a soft kiss on my cheek and then took off for a shower.
What the?
Okay, so apparently my uncle had been possessed by some kind of really easygoing demon, because there was no way he would have let me get away with not coming home or even calling to check in. He just wouldn't. Would he? Trace and I walked into our world history class together. Several sets of curious eyes looked up and took notice of this new development, a few of which seemed genuinely disappointed. Like, had it not been for me, they may have had a chance with him. Of course, none more so than Nikki. Her glaring turquoise eyes were shooting knives at my head from across the room, letting me know exactly what she thought about me. I shuffled down the aisle and took my usual spot next to Ben. When I glanced back up, Trace was standing beside my desk, but he wasn't looking at me. He ticked his chin offside, gesturing to the guy sitting behind me, who promptly packed up his books and abandoned his seat. Nice, said Ben, reaching back for a fist bump just as Trace sat down in the newly available seat. I swiveled around in my chair. That's not your seat, I pointed out. Captain Obvious to the rescue.
It is now.
His dimples went off in tandem as he fought back a smile.
Is that all right with you?
I wasn't sure sitting this close to Trace was the best idea. I had a hard enough time concentrating in class without his good vibration shooting through my body, but I wasn't about to let him know that. I guess so. His eyebrows rose.
You guess so?
I happen to like that guy.
Yeah?
He lifted his chin, seemingly to the challenge.
What was his name?
Crap, what the heck was his name? Marshall. His name is Marshall. Maxwell, whispered Ben. Maxwell, that's what I said. Trace stared back at me with a half-smile plastered across his beautiful heart-shaped lips, not saying a single word. There was something shimmering in his eyes. Something soft and loving. It made my cheeks warm. Stop looking at me like that, I said, trying to bury my smile long enough to bark out the order with any semblance of authority.
Damned if I know how.
He leaned back in his chair and kicked out his legs in front of him, still staring at me in the same exact way. The heat quickly spread from my cheeks to every other part of my body. Threatening a complete system meltdown. Buckling under the heat of his stare, I abruptly turned back around and waited for Mr. Bradley to start his class. A few seconds later, I felt a tap on my back, followed by a piece of paper flying over my shoulder and landing squarely on my desk. I unfolded the note and read the message.
I'm going to Starry Beach before work. You in?
I half turned my head and nodded. A few moments later, another note landed on my desk.
You looked really good in my bed, by the way. Like, really good.
A tropical storm erupted inside me at the sight of his words on paper. I didn't dare turn around to acknowledge him this time, out of fear that he'd see the cherry shade of red splattered all over my face and know just how much he affected me. Instead, I directed my eyes forward and tried to concentrate on Mr. Bradley, who was busy checking names off his attendance sheet.
I'm looking forward to a repeat,
added Trace, loud enough for most of the class to hear.
Mr. MacArthur, called Mr. Bradley at the front of the room. Care to share that with the rest of the class?
That's all right,
said Trace, his voice as deep and edgy as an underground cave.
I'm keeping this one for myself.
I didn't have to turn around to know his eyes were pinned on me. I really wasn't sure exactly what had changed between us since last night, but he was definitely bolder now, more determined to stake his claim.
"Before I begin today's lesson," started Mr. Bradley, "I'd like to take a moment to speak with you on a more personal note. As most of you know, Taylor Valentine, a student and fellow classmate of yours, has been missing since last Friday."
My heart sank into the pit of my stomach.
"While her parents are remaining hopeful that she will return safely, they aren't leaving any stone unturned. Together with law enforcement, they have organized a town-wide search party to take place this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We encourage all of you to head down to Town Hall and sign up. A vigil will also be held later this evening."
The sound of his voice seemed to be moving further and further away from me. My head was spinning, my stomach roiling. I wasn't sure what side was up anymore.
"Miss Blackburn?"
All eyes were on me. I was standing up, and I wasn't even sure how that happened.
"Is everything all right?" he asked.
I shook my head, but it only made the dizziness worse. "I have to go," I said, stumbling down the aisle and then barreling out the door.
"Gemma,"
Trace called out after me as he chased me out into the hall.
"Wait up,"
he yelled, but I didn't stop. I wasn't stopping for anything. My feet pounded against the floor like gunshots.
"Gemma!"
I needed to get away from it, from this building, from my reality, from my guilt, my helplessness. Trace's arm shot out from behind me and lifted me off the ground, easy as plucking a dying rose from the earth.
"Let me go!"
I cried, tears streaming down my face as I kicked out at the air. It was futile. His hold was ironclad.
"Stop running," he said, holding me against him. "Talk to me."
"She's gone, and it's all my fault."
Tears flooded over like a busted dam. He muttered a string of curse words into my hair as realization set in.
"Come on, Gemma. Don't do this to yourself."
"Why not? I did this to her."
"No, you didn't. It's not your fault, Gemma. It's not."
He buried his face in my neck, his long hair brushing against my cheeks as he molded his body around mine.
"We're going to fix this, okay? We'll get her back."
"How, Trace? How are we going to do that?"
Breaking out of his grip, I turned to face him. I needed to see those eyes. I needed them to bring me back to my happy place, my safe place.
"We don't even know where the amulet is, and we're running out of time."
"There's still time."
"Even if we figure out where it is, we have no way of getting there. Just like you said, remember?"
"We'll figure it out."
He tried to pull me in again, but I put my hands out and stopped him.
"I need to get out of here."
"Okay."
He nodded, taking my hand into his.
"I'll take you home."
"No."
I pulled my hand free and looked away.
"I need to be alone. I can't be around you right now."
"Gemma."
"I'm serious, Trace. While we were busy rolling around in your bed last night, Taylor was out there all alone, waiting for us to remember her."
"It wasn't like that."
He shook his head, trying to dissuade me.
"There's nothing we can do until we get the amulet back,"
he reminded me. But it was useless. I was already beyond that point.
"We're not getting the amulet back, Trace. It's gone, and there isn't a goddamn thing I can do about it anymore. It's time to accept it and move on to Plan B."
He looked over his shoulder and then back at me.
"What are you talking about? What Plan B?"
I still hadn't told him anything about Dominic or how we'd been working together on a plan to kill Angel. And now definitely wasn't the time to open up that can of worms.
"What Plan B, Gemma?"
he asked again.
"I'm still working on it."
I squared my shoulders and hardened my backbone.
"The only thing I know for sure is that I have to take Angel out, and I have less than 2 weeks to do it. I can't do that if I'm busy wasting time with you."
He flinched back at my words, his expression creased with hurt.
"Wasting time?"
"You know what I mean.
I said, and instantly felt a pang of guilt for being so harsh with my words. He didn't deserve it, but I wasn't sure how else to get through to him. Look, I'm sorry, okay? I didn't mean it that way. I just meant that I have to stay focused right now. He nodded once, slow and tempered, like a sunset bowing down to the world.
It's all good, he said,
but I could see that it wasn't.
Do what you gotta do, Gemma. I won't get in your way, he added.
And with that, the armor he once wore like a second skin reappeared. Something told me I'd regret this later, but I didn't stick around long enough to contemplate it. 14. The Time Traveler. The Blackburn Estate was as quiet as the Hollow Hills Cemetery when I tore through the front door. My uncle had already left for work, or errands, or whatever it was he did when I was away at school. Rushing upstairs, I barreled down the hallway and into my bedroom, slamming the door shut behind me. The rain hammered down against my balcony window like a rabid creature clawing and scratching at the glass. I paced back and forth in front of my bed as tears ran down my face in bold streaks of hopelessness. My thoughts were racing, sweeping, spiraling through my mind like a tornado. Everything had fallen apart, busted wide open, and the pieces that remained were leading me to one horrible, godforsaken place. I had to kill Angel, and I was going to have to do it without the amulet. But how? How the hell was I going to go up against a revenant that had already killed 4 generations of slayers? How was I going to defeat him with no experience, minimal training, and no one to back me up? Gabriel was an immediate dead end, if for no other reason than his loyalty to Tessa. Dominic was a wild card. And even though we had a shared goal, I still didn't know if I could fully trust him. And then there was Trace. Trace was strong, capable, and he cared about me. He would be there by my side if I asked him to, without question. But Morgan's vision alone was enough reason for me to not involve him in this. I couldn't risk letting him know when or where this was going to happen, or he would be there with me, ready and willing to walk into his own demise. I couldn't let that happen. I had to do this alone. I had to kill Angel and bring Taylor home by myself. And even though it very well may be the last thing I ever did, I would go to my death trying. A hard knock at the door jolted me out of my thoughts. I circled back to the balcony door and pulled back the curtains. A soaking wet Trace stood on the other side, dark strands of hair sticking to his beautifully defined jaw.
God, you look beautiful.
Even though his voice sounded muffled through the glass, I could still hear the longing in his words.
Can I come in?
I unlocked the door and pulled it open. What are you doing here, Trace? I told you I wanted to be alone. I stopped cold in my tracks as he pulled out the amulet from his pocket and dangled it in front of my eyes.
I think you should let me in.
Where did you... I shook my head. When did you...
I don't have a lot of time.
Ignoring my half-baked questions, he walked inside and quickly locked the door behind himself as though he were being followed.
Please sit down.
How did you get it back? I asked, and watched as he closed all the curtains, isolating us from the outside world. There was no way he managed to get the amulet back in such a small time frame. I had just left him at school less than an hour ago. You had it all along, didn't you? I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You were lying all along.
It's not what you think, he said, shaking his head.
The hell it isn't! Give it back! I snapped as I reached out and tried to grab it from his hand, but he moved it out of my reach before I could make contact with it.
Please, just sit down, Gemma.
He slipped the amulet back in his pocket and waited for me to do as he asked.
I'll explain everything, he said, checking his watch.
Gritting my teeth, I took 2 slow steps backwards and sat down on the edge of the bed, ready and willing to tear him a brand new one.
"Do you know who I am?"
he asked, surveying me from across the room.
"Is this a joke?"
I could feel the rage prickling through my blood as he waited for an answer.
"Yes, I know who you are. You're the liar who's been playing me since day one."
"I'm the liar who's been protecting you since day one,"
he quickly shot back. I snorted at his convoluted retelling of the past.
"You're in serious need of a new dictionary."
He cracked a smile, as though amused by my indignation.
"I'm not from this timeline, Gemma."
"Excuse me?"
I leaned forward to get a better look at his lying face.
"Are you seriously trying to tell me you're not the same exact Trace I just left at school not even an hour ago?"
The hell he wasn't. They looked identical and not a single day older.
"That's exactly what I'm telling you."
I snorted my disbelief. If he really was from the future, why would he take the amulet from me and leave me for dead only to show up with it a few days later? None of this made any sense. He had to be lying. Again. But why? What the heck was he up to?
"I don't know what kind of sick game you're playing."
"I'm not playing any games,"
he said emphatically.
"Yeah? Then prove it,"
I dared him, my gaze hard and unrelenting. "If you're from the future, then prove it to me. Show me something with a date on it, and I'll believe you." He tapped his pockets and then shook his head.
"I don't have anything on me."
I crossed my arms. "Then go get something."
"Excuse me?"
"You're a Reaper, Trace."
"Yeah?"
"So mosey on back and grab a newspaper."
"I can't. I've been bound, Gemma."
His eyebrows pulled together in frustration.
"This is a one-shot deal."
"How convenient," I scoffed. "If you've been bound, then how did you get here?"
"Another Reaper."
He took a step forward as though trying to command all my attention, as though trying to distract me from his blatant lies.
"I needed to come back one last time."
I wasn't buying his story for a minute. He was the same old trickster that had already shown me his true face at the church. And this time, I wasn't looking away from the truth.
"What you need to do is get out of my house before I do something we both regret."
I shot up from my bed and stepped towards him, ready to make good on my promise.
"Hang on a minute,"
he said suddenly, shucking off his wet jacket and tossing it over my dresser. Grabbing the edge of his shirt, he yanked it up over his head, pretty much undressing himself in my bedroom.
"Maybe this will help."
His bare, glistening chest stared back at me like a steamy scene straight out of my daydreams.
Help with what, exactly?
Despite my outrage, my cheeks were burning hot.
"If you're trying to distract me, it's not going to work," I said, though my mouth was still unhinged, and I felt pretty damn distracted.
His dimples appeared as he sprouted a smile.
"Is this proof enough for you?"
he asked, and then lifted his arm up over his head, exposing the entire left side of his torso. I couldn't believe what my eyes were seeing. Right down his ribcage, from his armpit to hip bone, was my name, tattooed in elegant black ink. Bold, thorny vines weaved in and around each letter and then disappeared around the side, presumably to another tattoo that continued on his back.
Oh. My. God.
I shook my head as I struggled to make sense out of what I was looking at what it all meant.
"Like I said, I'm not from this timeline,"
he repeated, dropping his arm.
"I came back for the amulet 5 days ago."
"You're actually telling the truth."
The ink was dry. There was no denying it. I finally had my proof. I finally knew for certain that present-day Trace wasn't lying. Every word he'd said to me was the truth, and it only made my feelings for him soar to indescribable heights. Unfortunately, the same couldn't be said for the Trace standing in front of me.
I narrowed my eyes at him like two angry missiles. So it was you. You're the one who left me for dead.
It had to be believable.